Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. We gather together this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is described here as the faithful one, the firstborn from the dead, the King and ruler of the earth, the one who was and is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, and the one who loves us and has washed our sins away by his blood. And we meet together in his name this morning to worship together. So let's do that in song. Let's sing unto the Lord a new song. I'll hand it over to Amy.
Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation day by day. Majesty and honor are his. Strength and beauty, glory and righteousness. Great is the Lord, and deserving of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth, our God reigns. The earth and the sea sing for joy. For the Lord, judge of the earth, who judges us in righteousness and truth. Worship the Lord.
Lead us in prayer this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come together this morning and we can sing to you a new song. And we thank you that all the earth, all creation, sings your praise and glorifies your name. Father, we come to declare that you alone are God, that you alone are great, that you alone are most worthy of praise, and you are to be feared above all gods. Father, we praise you this morning for your splendor and your majesty. We thank you that we can look at your creation and see your handiwork and your glory. Father, we thank you that the heavens rejoice and the earth is glad for everything that you do. And so, Lord, we are humbled that we can come before you this morning to worship you in the splendor of your holiness. Father, there's also parts of us which tremble, knowing that you are the Almighty God, a powerful God, a God who spoke and worlds came into being, a God who is perfect in everything, a God that in whom there is no darkness but only light. And Father, we do tremble because we know who we are. We know our hearts. We know our hidden faults. And Lord, we're humbled because we realize that we are sinners, that we have indeed turned our backs on you. But we thank you that in your great love, you have reached down to us, that you have called us, that you have rescued us, and brought us into your presence by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Father, we realize that we are so undeserving, so unworthy of your mercy and grace to us. There's nothing that we can do or say or can offer you so that we could earn your grace and favor. Father, forgive our foolishness, forgive our hard hearts. Forgive the times when we push you aside. And we pray this morning that we might learn and continue to learn, to worship you, to praise you in all circumstances, to look to you in all things, and to live for you and your glory. Father, we look forward to that day where we will come and be with you. We will be in heaven with you, rejoicing and seeing the full splendor of your glory. Father, it's a day that we look forward to, a day where you will renew creation, a day when all things will be made new. But until that day, we pray that our lives might be a living sacrifice to you, that we might proclaim the greatness of yourself and of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Our first Bible reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 11 to chapter 6, verse 13, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11 to 6, verse 13, and Leighton's going to read that for us. Thanks, Leighton.
Yeah, so first Bible reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 5:11. So, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. We are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonour, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also.
Thanks, Logan. Some really good stuff in that passage. Some of those Sunday school verses you remember as a kid about anyone who's in Christ, a new creation, the old is gone, the new has come. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, which we're going to be spending a bit of time thinking about this morning. And God who made him no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God. A few announcements for us this morning. So I say this every week, but just a reminder, we still have the two ladies Bible studies at 2 o'clock on Mondays and 7:30 on Tuesdays, which are going gangbusters, which is great. We're having a good time with our greenhouse youth, and we're going again this Friday at 7:30 p.m. We've been very busy, and down the bottom you'll see that our advertising campaign has reached Henty, Huron Creek, Urana, Borey Creek, Lockhart, Colcan, Holbrook, Mangapla, Pleasant Hills and The Rock. So hopefully you would have got a little card in your mailbox along with many others, and we're hoping and praying that that will connect us with a few more people, that people will know that we're online and that they can connect in with us. So please pray that there'll be a positive response to our advertising campaign. During the week, I got an update from Global Recordings Network, GRN. GRN, what they do is a fantastic ministry where they take the language of a tribe or a foreign country and they record audio of the scriptures in their language, and then they give them to them on device so people can hear the language of the script, well, hear the scriptures in their own language, which is a fantastic ministry. GRN came to us some time ago. They came down, we had a mission breakfast, the CEO came down and they shared about their work. But we just thought we'd play this little update of a video just to let you know what's happening with their work.
Things have been a bit quiet in the office lately. We're not immune to the impact of the current crisis. With borders blocked, travel restricted, churches closed, and Aboriginal communities out of reach, many of GRN's usual activities have been put on hold. But we're still at work, even when we're not at work. We've been busy increasing the speed and reliability of our computer systems and audio archive by moving them into the cloud to make sure our recordings are available 24/7. Our studio staff are preparing new recordings while preserving and restoring those of a different vintage. And we've been working on software updates of our Fivefish app, due to be released soon. While some missionaries have had to return home to weather the storm, our gospel messages continue to faithfully proclaim God's word in the heart language of those left behind. Even though we can't gather together, we're still praying for our mission, our nation, and our supporting churches. So we invite you to partner with us in the mission of Global Recordings Network. Simply download the Fivefish app, share our recordings, and pray that God would continue to be at work, even when we can't.
Mission work right around the world has its challenges at the moment, obviously travelling between countries and that sort of thing. I know missionaries who were planning to be on the field this year who have had to stay behind because they couldn't go. But the thing that I keep being reminded of is the video showed us the gospel still goes out, and it goes out in ways that we sometimes don't think about, but you can't stop the gospel of God. And that's a really encouraging thing. So on that note, I'm going to lead us in prayer this morning to pray for the work of GRN and some of the other things in our church as well. So let's spend some time praying together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you are our rock and our refuge and our strength and an ever-present help in times of trouble. Father, we know that we live in interesting times, but these are times that you have created, that you have ordained, and these are times that you are still sovereign over. Father, we thank you as we've been reminded that even in this time, your gospel doesn't stop, but the message of the Lord Jesus continues to ring out throughout the world. And we do pray that you might use this time to draw people to yourself, to awake people and nations from their slumber and their attitude towards you. That you might use this time to challenge many about their relationship with you, and you would draw people unto yourself. Father, we think here of our own towns. And we thank you for the opportunity to let a box drop. We pray that might result in some connections and people realizing that your church has not ceased, but continues to meet. We pray for each of us as we have conversations with people about the virus, that you might help us to point them to you and to you alone. We pray for those who have been impacted by this virus. Father, whether that be a family member or a friend who have come down with the disease or people have lost their job, we pray that we might be able to bring words of comfort. We thank you for our government and the decisions that they have made. We pray for them as they continue to make decisions about easing restrictions, that you give them the wisdom and the guidance that they need as they make those decisions. We pray for those who have indeed lost loved ones as a result of the virus. We pray that you might bring comfort to those who grieve and to those who mourn. Father, we pray for the work of Global Recordings Network. We We thank you for this ministry which enables your word to be put into the hands of people who might never have heard the scriptures ever. We pray that you'd help GRN to use their time wisely to do a lot of things that they haven't been able to do for a while. And we pray that as restrictions are eased, that you get them back up to normal, operating on full capacity. Pray for other missionaries right around the world who take your gospel out. Please protect them, particularly in their health. And wherever they are, may they be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus. Father, we think of our own congregation here. Father, many of us have different needs. We pray for those amongst us who are sick and are struggling and who need your strength. Father, please provide. We pray they might turn and look to you and know your presence and know your strength. We pray that we would love and support one another at this time, care for one another. That may be seen in practical ways such as emails and phone calls, and where appropriate, a visit or two as well. Father, we pray that you might help us to learn to love each other and to love our neighbour as you have loved us. We pray that we as a congregation would not be people who fear, but Father, rather have eyes of faith. And we pray for each of us and our church that we might grow in faith and hope and love for you. Father, help us to know that the gospel is the power of salvation to all who believe. We thank you that you've committed to us the message of reconciliation. We pray that you might make us faithful ambassadors of that message, telling people of the good news that they can leave their old life of sin and have a new life in Christ, that they can know the precious gift of forgiveness and what it means to be reconciled to the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray for any of us who are anxious or concerned, that we may know the power of prayer and turn to you and know the peace that comes from handing things over to you. We thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers, that you delight in the prayers of your children. We thank you that you also delight in answering our prayers. And Father, as we wait for your answer, teach us to be patient in all things. Teach us to pray continually and help us to lean on you. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage this morning is 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 7, and Ellen's going to bring us that reading.
Second Bible reading today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, nor from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children.
Okay, just before we turn to God's word this morning, let me Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just pray that as we open your word this morning, that you might really challenge us and to think deeply about this passage, what it means and what it means for us as we live for you. So speak to us, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. In John Bunyan's classic work, Pilgrim's Progress, which is an allegory of the Christian life, Christian, who is the main character, is led into a room where the interpreter points out a portrait hanging on the wall. The picture depicts a faithful minister in these words. The man whose picture this is one of a thousand. You see him with his eyes lifted to heaven, the best books in his hand, and the law of truth written on his lips. This shows that his work is to know and unfold dark things to sinners. You see him standing as if he was pleading with men. The world behind him, a crown hanging over his head. This shows that by neglecting and despising present things for the love that he has for his master's service, he is sure to have glory for his reward in the next world. Young Christian needed to realize or recognize a true minister because his own journey to the celestial city required him to discern between false and true spiritual guides. The Apostle Paul is another fantastic example of a faithful minister and a true guide. But not everyone thought that in Thessalonica. There were some who hoped to ruin this new church in Thessalonica by destroying its confidence in the person God used to found the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul defends his ministry by showing that he is indeed a true minister of the gospel. So where are we up to in Thessalonians? Well, in chapter 1, Paul greets his readers. He gives thanks for them because they received the gospel despite all the hardship they were enduring. Not only did they receive the gospel transformed them. And we saw that transformation in different ways last week. They became imitators of Paul and of Christ. They turned from their idols to serve the living God. The gospel went out to others and they had their focus on the return of Christ. In chapter 2, Paul begins to speak about his ministry amongst the Thessalonians. He says there in verse 1, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know." Now, before Paul came to Thessalonica, he was in Philippi, and we know about his time there from Acts chapter 16. We're told that Paul and his companions ran into a woman who had a spirit which enabled her to be a fortune teller. She predicted the future and made a great deal of money for her owner. After many days and Paul becoming troubled, Paul cast out this spirit. The fortune telling stopped, the income dried up, and the owners of the girl arrested Paul and Silas. An angry crowd was stirred up and Paul and Silas were beaten and stripped, severely flogged, and thrown into prison. And God intervened, saving the jailer and his household and enabling Paul and Silas to go free. Such an experience would have bruised Paul. It could have easily been all too much for him. He could have said, "Well, let's stop this and let's just go home." But he didn't. Which is why Paul says that our visit to you was not a failure. Paul is saying that our visit to you was not in vain or without purpose. So still wearing the scars of being shamefully treated in Philippi, Paul pressed on to Thessalonica, as we see in the rest of verse 2, "With the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition." Despite what Paul had endured, with the help of God, he dared or if you like, had the courage, in spite of more opposition, to tell the Thessalonians the gospel. Now, when I read the word dare in verse 2, my mind went to that TV show a number of years ago called Who Dares Wins. It's a show where contestants were dared to do something they thought they never could, should, or would do. And so they did all sorts of things. They jumped out of planes and they swam with sharks. Does Paul mean dare in the sense to step up to the plate and take on this task? Well, the problem is so often with this type of thing, it's a translation problem. We simply don't have an equivalent English word. The Greek word that's actually used here has two types of concepts behind it. One being the idea of being completely smooth so that words kind of flow freely. But it also includes the concepts of being without fear in the sense of having complete confidence. Because of Paul's knowledge of the gospel, he felt so at ease to preach the gospel with confidence, because as we saw in chapter 1, the gospel came with power. It's the power of God for salvation. Despite the opposition, despite the setbacks, Paul confidently preached the gospel to the Thessalonians. So how did Paul do this? How did he boldly speak the gospel? Well, the answer there is in verse 2. Paul did it with the help of God. It didn't come from his own courage. Instead, it came from trust in God Almighty. That God had called Paul to preach the gospel, and as a result, Paul believed that God would give him everything he needed to enable him to do that task. And if God can help Paul, he can help us in our task of proclaiming the gospel as well. But that didn't stop people criticizing Paul. See there in verse 3, some people accused Paul of teaching error. Certainly the religious leaders laid that charge against Paul. But Paul could and did show that what he was preaching and teaching was actually from the Bible. That's the test of a true minister, whether they point people to the scriptures so they can clearly see the Lord Jesus to whom all scripture points. Others claimed Paul was out to deceive his hearers. Televangelists, in far too many cases, they do a lot of damage for the gospel because they leave behind this trail of scandals wherever they go. This was not Paul at all. He showed that by suffering heavily for the cause of Christ. So what was Paul's motivation? Well, we see that in verse 4. He says, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. And in verse 6, he says, we are not looking for praise from men, not from you or anybody else. Paul's motivation stemmed from a desire to please God. He was not after approval from men. Paul knew that it was not possible to preach the gospel faithfully without giving offense to some of his listeners. Some people, like the Thessalonians, they eagerly received and they believed the gospel. But others believed that the gospel, to borrow Paul's words from 2 Corinthians, was a fragrance of death. Ultimately, God calls us to be faithful in telling people they are sinners and that their only salvation is through Jesus. Similarly, Paul did not seek praise from others. He sought eternal glory that only Christ can give. Paul had the approval of heaven and he didn't need to seek after the approval of Rome or Jerusalem. Now, as many of you know, when I was much younger, I used to umpire cricket and referee touch football. And I dabbled in some soccer officiating as well. Referees are not liked, and they're certainly not loved. You're there to make decisions, and no matter what decision you make, someone is bound to get upset and to criticise you. So why do referees go out and do that kind of job week in and week out? Some people believe it's because they have big egos and they want to be important. My experience was that such people were a very, 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 very tiny minority. Generally, they did it because they wanted to make a contribution to the sport. They wanted to serve and they enjoyed doing the role. They weren't looking for praise or for thanks. They're not interested in putting their names up in lights. They just wanted to referee to the best of their ability and make a contribution by doing their duty. Such was the attitude of the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't do it for money or for praise. He just faithfully went about his business because he was serving his God. Paul goes on in verse 5. He says, "You know we never use flattery, nor do we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness." Wandering preachers in the time of Paul, they were typically accused of being solely interested in financial gain. But Paul could not be accused of that. Why? Because God was his witness. God knew what was on Paul's heart. Paul knew that if his motivation was financial, it could lead him into trouble. He knew that his job was to present the gospel as plainly and simply as he could. Paul was not some sort of spin doctor who doctored the message to suit his purposes. Politicians today love to spin the message to make it suit themselves. So if the crime figures go down, it's because of the government's great policies. If the opposition is to be believed, it's that the figures aren't accurate and can't be trusted. Spin the message. That's the mantra of today. But when it comes to the gospel, we do not need to present it with spin, because it's the truth. And even if people don't believe it, it's still true. We don't need to change the message of the gospel. We don't need to transform it. We don't even need to sell it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We present it not because we want something out of it, but to honour our God. We proclaim it so people might come to know the God who sent us to proclaim it. It's too important a message to get wrong. People's eternal destiny is at stake. So how did Paul do it? Well, verse 7 gives us some clues. He says, "As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children." How did Paul do it? By being gentle. What is gentleness? As one person put it, it's the virtue of being tender and considerate, concerned for the well-being of the other, instead of being severe or hard. The same way that a mother cares for her little children through self-sacrifice and love, so too Paul gave similar actions towards the Thessalonians. Just as a mother does not stand on her dignity when meeting the needs of her little child, neither did Paul lord his authority over the Thessalonians as he sought to shepherd them in faith and in godliness. He loved them so much, as we'll explore next week in verse 8, that he says, "We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." Love for Christ and for the gospel caused people to pour out their life for the spiritual well-being of the church and to make sacrificial offerings in their life in the service of Christ and his people. So Paul's the real deal. He's a faithful minister of the gospel. As we've seen this morning, he has written a testimony, if you'd like, a defense of his ministry. And you may well say, "Well, that's good for Paul. What does this mean for me?" Well, it helps us, like it did Christian, to spot true and false ministry. But there's something else worth noting in verse 4, where Paul says that the gospel was entrusted to him. That gospel has been handed down to generation and entrusted to us. The gospel that Paul preached is the same gospel we preach today. That gospel is the good news of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, who calls people to trust and believe and to follow him. We've been entrusted with the gospel, but not to guard it or store it like a treasure. Rather, as we saw in chapter 1, it's to be disseminated and rang out like a bell from us. When Queen Victoria was a child, she didn't know she was in line for the throne of England. Her instructors trying to prepare her for the future were frustrated because they just couldn't motivate her. She didn't take her studies seriously. Finally, the teachers decided to tell her that one day she would become the Queen of England. And upon hearing this, Victoria quietly said, "Then I will be good." The realization that she had inherited this high calling gave her a sense of responsibility that profoundly affected her conduct from then on. There's no greater calling than being entrusted with the gospel of God. So let us take our responsibility seriously as we minister to a world that desperately needs to hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me lead us in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we know there is a world out there who need to hear the message of the gospel. That people need to know this message because their eternal destiny is at stake. So help us as individuals and as a church to take this responsibility seriously, that you might equip us and strengthen us to be faithful proclaimers of the gospel. Father, we pray that when we are fearful, that we might look to you. And like Paul, who suffered many setbacks, boldly speak of what you have done for us in Christ. Father, we need your help. And so we ask that you might help us this day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do in a minute is we're going to sing a song about what it is we believe as Christians. At the end of that song, I'm going to pronounce the benediction, and then a couple of things are going to happen. Firstly, we're going to have a breakout room with the lockout people, lockout congregation. We have a few matters that we need to discuss. So we're going to go off to a breakout room and have a bit of a chat. Everybody else will fall into one of two groups. There'll be a group which will be left, which for our young people, and Colin Buchanan will give the kids' message. And then there's probably not the right term, but I'll use it anyway, sort of an older group where people can get together and have a bit of a chat about things. If you want to stay in the Colin Buchanan group and you're on the computer, you've got the option. So if you don't want to go and chat, that's fine. You can stay and watch Colin. You just need to click the right button on your screen. If you're on the telephone, Amy will just allocate you to a group. So I really encourage you to stay on the line after I've pronounced the benediction. Amy just needs a few moments just to make sure she sends people to the right spot. And then there'll sort of be the three groups, and then over time they'll end up closing, and that will be the end of our time, and we'll be back online next week. But after the benediction, don't hang up. Don't go anywhere. Just stay there, and Amy will allocate you appropriately. So we're going to sing. Our song is This, I Believe. Amy, I don't have the hymn book in front of me, so if you could just let people know what page people can find that if they're on the phone and they've got their hymn book in front of them, that would be great. And the words will be up on the screen, but we'll hand over to you.
From memory, it's page 8, but I'm just looking it up. Alphabetical order starts with.
Sorry, we're just getting the page number here.
Page 30 of the songbook.
Page 30 of the songbook. So if you've got the green songbook and you're on the phone, it's on page 30. And we're in your hands, Amy.
Our Father everlasting, the all creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our
For joining us this morning, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.